You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host, Colt Molesky here. And make sure to, when you're done listening to the podcast, immediately go check out all the content at zonecoverage.com. All the written and podcast content on there. Definitely go and give that a look. Plenty of good stuff to read and listen to headed into the weekend. Have a special guest on today, one of the hosts of the Locked On Bulls podcast. Matt Peck is joining me to talk about Bulls basketball. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, Colton. Thanks for having me.
For sure. And this is going to be a really fun game. I know that the record of the Bulls isn't great and the Timberwolves are coming off a loss, but I think this is going to be a really fun game because this is the first time that you have Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine playing their old team and Jimmy Butler playing his first NBA team. First time that all those players are playing each other, and this is going to be in Chicago. I think the atmosphere is going to be really fun. I think that this is going to create some good storylines headed into the game and out of the game, and that there's going to be some feistiness between these two rosters. What say you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a reason that after the Bulls made that Butler trade and the NBA made their national TV schedule, this is the only nationally televised game the Bulls have this season. And it's exactly because of that reason, the drama that exists in the homecoming of not only Jimmy Butler, but also our former coach, Tom Thibodeau, who was very beloved in Chicago, and Taj Gibson, you know, never quite the star player that Jimmy Butler turned into, but one of the most loved, hardworking guys on this Bulls team, right there with Joakim Noah, one of the last pieces of that 2011 Eastern Conference Finals team that left town.
I feel like Taj Gibson, maybe this is a bad comparison, but I feel like Taj Gibson is kind of like that old offensive lineman, like a Joe Thomas, where he doesn't really have like a stats like a wide receiver, but the city loves him because he's a grinder and because he shows up every game, and he ends up influencing a game more than you think and more than maybe the box score would indicate. And so when he comes back to Chicago, I feel like that is one of the players that the town really loved, and that that's going to be interesting having him back.
Yeah, I mean, he was really one of the most well-liked guys by Chicago Bulls fans, one of the most well-liked teammates in that Bulls locker room. When he did his exit interviews with a couple of Chicago radio stations, he was very emotional. And, you know, obviously it was a sort of an extra added pain for Bulls fans because we all thought we got fleeced in that deadline deal last season with Oklahoma City. So that hurt. We all kind of knew that Taj was on the table. The Bulls were going to try to get something for him instead of losing him in free agency. But, you know, Stacey King always referred to him as one of those hard hat and lunch pail kind of guys. He'd never impress you or anything would, you know, things would rarely jump out at you when you looked at his night in the box score, but did all the dirty work and all the little tough things, and really one of the better inside defenders that this league had seen in recent seasons, and never really got enough credit for that.
No, he's definitely a guy who is a sneaky double-double guy who will just all of a sudden he has like 12 points and 14 rebounds. And you look back at what he did throughout the game, and he was a huge impact guy even though those numbers don't really leap out off the box score for you. Jumping over to some of the guys that the Bulls got out of this trade, Zach LaVine, this is the most impressive thing that has, I think, been done all season long, because I've been working my ass off and I have not gotten a shoe deal. And Zach LaVine got his before he was even back from injury. How are more people not impressed with that?
I think Bulls fans were definitely skeptical when that deal went down, because
especially with Adidas, that's some bad memories.
Right. You know, a guy with an Adidas shoe deal who's coming off an ACL injury, I mean, that put a lot of fear in a lot of Bulls fans, and rightfully so. I mean, when you talk about that guy being the centerpiece when the Bulls were trading away their franchise player, a borderline superstar, there was a lot of skepticism and a lot of hesitancy to kind of buy into that. And everything we heard during LaVine's recovery time was that he was running faster, jumping higher, et cetera, than before the ACL tear. And, of course, all Bulls fans said, well, yeah, sure, let me actually see him play on the court before I believe any of that. He has had a couple of rough shooting nights. I think he's been trying to sort of find his rhythm and find the right places for his shot selection on the floor in Fred's offense. And in recent games, with the absences of Markkanen and Dunn, he's been asked to do a little bit more. I think he's had a few moments of trying to do too much, but his game against the Kings last Sunday, a season-high 27 points, probably his best game in a Bulls uniform thus far. You really started to see the variety of ways in which he can be effective on the offensive end.
Well, and I know it's a small sample size with only 11 games played, but already 15.6 points per game. I mean, he's come out and he's shown that he can at least score, and maybe the defensive side, maybe working himself into a consistent place in the offense is yet to come, but he can at least put some points up on the board.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think especially now with the departure of Nico Mirotic, who got traded to New Orleans last week, was actually the Bulls' leading scorer off the bench for the short stint that he was active. Hoiberg, between the absence of Mirotic, the absence of Dunn and Markkanen, is grasping at straws, trying to find offense from somewhere. Jaren Grant has never really been a score-first point guard. He's not even really a true point guard in that sense. And LaVine is clearly right now, with what Hoiberg has had in recent games, the most talented offensive weapon on that roster. So it's sort of been a go do what you can do for us, Zach, and hopefully that'll allow him to sort of find a groove and a rhythm. And then once some of these other key pieces come back, Markkanen from paternity leave and Dunn from his concussion, LaVine can sort of build some chemistry with those other pieces of the young core that we're trying to build. And it'll open up more looks for all three of them when all three of them can finally share the court together.
Quick timeout. You cover the Bulls on a daily basis. Were you surprised by the Mirotic trading? Were you happy with that? Was that a good deal for the Bulls? Did it catch you off guard? Where do you stand on that trade, Quick?
I think I was not surprised, because everything we heard was that the Bulls would do what they could to help Nico, who really wanted a fresh start. I mean, he and Bobby Portis could at least get along on the court and play together, and surprisingly actually played well together. But Nico and his camp never wavered from the initial me or him ultimatum that they put on the Bulls front office soon after that fight happened in training camp. Nico wanted to not be on the same team as Bobby Portis, and the Bulls would do what they could to make that happen. You have to give the Bulls front office credit, because especially now as we get closer to this deadline, everybody, all of these teams that are in difficult cap situations, are putting first round picks at a premium. You know, teams that are buying don't want to give them up. Teams that are selling are desperately trying to get them. And considering that Nico Mirotic, as a restricted free agent, got essentially zero offers last summer and then missed the first couple months of the season with an injury, the way that he was able to come back and look good in games in a Bulls uniform, and the Bulls were able to actually sell high and get a first rounder for him, you have to be impressed that they wanted to move Nico and they were able to get what they set out to get.
Is there a little bit of maybe they chose the wrong guy to trade and you keep Mirotic and trade Bobby Portis, or was it you want to trade the guy who's going to get back that first round pick?
I definitely think that's an element to it. I mean, I think Bobby Portis would not have netted you a first-round pick. And the other element to that, and it's something that Paxson sort of explains when talking about this Nico deal, is that Nico is a little bit older than Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis still has another year of his rookie deal. And as far as what Nico would be looking for, you know, it ended up that the Pelicans did pick up that team option, and that was sort of what stopped the trade from happening the first time. Nico, even after picking up that option, is going to be looking for a real NBA veteran type contract in another year. And where the Bulls are now and thinking about having to re-sign Zach LaVine this summer, they didn't really see the financial, you know, X's and O's working out with keeping Nico, whereas Bobby is a guy that they're still interested in developing, a guy that they want to keep on board as a potential piece for this rebuild, and it made more sense to keep Bobby and get what they could get for Nico.
No, yeah, that's when I was looking at that trade, that seemed like that was probably the move, is to go and just get rid of the guy that could get them the first-round pick. We're going to talk about Chris Dunn here, but first, a quick break from our sponsors. All right, so Chris Dunn was a guy coming out of college. I actually really liked him a lot. He seemed like he'd be a really solid defensive piece on the Timberwolves to kind of pair with the offense that you get from Ricky Rubio and trading them off him coming off the bench. Didn't really impress a ton in Minnesota. Granted, he didn't get a lot of time to play. He averaged only about 17 minutes to play in the game. But he averaged 3.8 points in Minnesota. Now he's averaging 13.7. You mentioned he's out right now, but 13.7 points, 6.4 assists when he's playing. He's averaging. Were you kind of pleasantly surprised by Chris Dunn, or was this kind of the indication of the Bulls going for Chris Dunn and the LaVine combo? Was this the indication that this is what they were kind of anticipating from him?
Yeah, I mean, I think along with the skepticism with LaVine, which of course was, you know, a skepticism about recovering from a serious injury, Bulls fans were hesitant to be on board with Chris Dunn being packaged in that Butler deal because a lot of people saw his rookie season in Minnesota as kind of a bust. Not that it was so disappointing, but that compared to where he was taken in the draft and how much people were talking about him, and, you know, as a four-year guy coming out of Providence, the Bulls really wanted him. I mean, the Bulls almost made a Jimmy Butler trade back in that 2016 draft to get Chris Dunn. That's how much they valued him. I think Bulls fans know very well that when it comes to rookies and minutes, Tom Thibodeau is very much a short-leash kind of coach. So you kind of had to take those rookie numbers with a grain of salt. I mean, he only started 7 games for Minnesota last season and was only averaging, what, like 17 minutes a game? So he had that setback early this season with a badly dislocated finger, which was the reason Jaren Grant was our starter for the first dozen or so games. But once Chris Dunn got more of an opportunity and came back from that finger injury, it was very clear that this is a better point guard and a guy with a higher ceiling than Jaren Grant. That's why he won the starting point guard job. And in that little winning streak that the Bulls pulled off in December that nobody saw coming, yes, Nico Mirotic was vital to making that happen, but you also, for all of the hype around the rookie Markkanen, really started to see Chris Dunn develop some confidence in that role, facilitating Fred's offense, pushing the pace, improving upon his assisted turnover ratio, all these things that started to make Bulls fans think, okay, maybe this is a piece that they can work with and build around.
Last guy I wanted to touch on before we move on to kind of breaking down the Timberwolves-Bulls game, Lauri Markkanen. I was not high on him in the draft. Watching him at Arizona, I just didn't think that he was big enough to kind of play inside. I didn't think that he was going to be able to play with enough muscle to kind of make it, and his offensive scoring was good but not so impressive that was the reason to take him really high, especially where the Bulls took him. I've been impressed with what he's done. He's a crafty rebounder. He manages to get 7.7 rebounds a game. Even though I think he can get out-muscled, I think he's just really good at working his way around guys and slipping through guys, and he averaged 15.3 points per game. He's a very good scorer. We saw there's been a couple games against New York Knicks where he's gone toe-to-toe with Porzingis, and I think he just kind of takes it personally that people maybe are doubting his talent on the offensive side, and so he has played really well, I've thought. What are your thoughts on this guy?
Yeah, I actually, as soon as the Bulls made that trade on draft night to trade up from 16 to 7 as part of the Butler deal, before news came out, I said, at 7, they got to take Markkanen. They're going to take Markkanen. He's a prototypical stretch four for a Fred Hoiberg pace and space offense. And there was a lot of negativity from Bulls fans saying, like, oh, he's just another soft Euro player. He's just another Nico Mirotic, but a little bit taller. I mean, this is going to be a huge bust. I can't believe we didn't take Dennis Smith Jr. And now, look, Dennis Smith Jr. might turn into a good, if not great, NBA player. But what the Bulls were looking for and actually finally adding a piece to their roster for their coach, Fred Hoiberg, whose system they just didn't have the right pieces for in his first two seasons in Chicago, I think the Markkanen pick made a lot of sense. And, I mean, you touched on kind of the weaknesses of his game that people saw coming out of the draft his year at Arizona. I think we all knew that he was one of the pure stroke shooters in that 2017 draft class, and he's certainly shown that, you know, with his insane pace of as far as made threes as a rookie in the NBA. We also have seen his ability to put the ball on the floor, to use mismatch advantages when the Bulls can find him down low. And on the defensive end, far better than advertised thus far. Certainly more work to do. You'd like to see him add to his frame a little bit so he can really go blow to blow with some of the larger forwards and centers in the league. But as far as footwork and as far as being a rim protector, he's already much better than we thought he would be as a rookie.
See, when they swap picks as part of that trade, I really thought they were going to try and get Malik Monk there, and then they took Markkanen. But it seems like obviously they have gotten the better end of that deal with how those two players have played this season. Really impressed with this kid. Going into this game, he and Chris Dunn, are they both going to be out for this game?
So Markkanen is back. He actually was supposed to be back for their game earlier this week out west, but there were some flight issues that kept Markkanen in Chicago. So Markkanen will be back and playing against the Wolves tomorrow night. Dunn, however, he did return to practice. He met with Chicago media yesterday. He's starting to do a little bit more activity, but he is still not cleared from that NBA concussion protocol. It was, you know, a really scary event. I was actually at that Bulls-Warriors game when he had that nasty fall after the dunk, and considering what could have happened, you know, it's lucky that all it was a couple of, you know, messed up teeth. He's got some braces now, but I think given that he is a very important piece to this Bulls core, and the Bulls probably don't mind that they've strung together seven straight losses, as they would really ideally like to be back towards the top of that lottery, they're going to be very cautious with Chris Dunn and working him back. So he's definitely not going to play tomorrow night, and I would be surprised to see him play, you know, before the All-Star break even.
That was about as hard as you can fall after a duck. That was pretty scary.
Yeah.
That was
not, I mean, he literally landed on his face. Exactly. It was scary to watch.
Exactly. No, that was not a good replay to watch and have all over the place. So going into this game, you got Markkanen, you got Zach LaVine in this one. Obviously, you'd really love to have Chris Dunn back, but you're going to play cautious with him, and you don't really want to mess around with somebody's brain and head as well. So Zach LaVine, I feel like, is one of those guys who really want to step up to the challenge of kind of sticking it to his old team. And Markkanen, I feel like, is going to kind of want to strut a little bit and maybe try and show up Towns. Outside of those two guys, is there anybody that could really damage the Timberwolves?
Ragging on my Bulls team too much, I mean, I don't think so. This Bulls team, without Chris Dunn running the offense, is shorthanded and really not as multidimensional. Jerry Grant has done what he can filling in, but really it's the pace isn't there. The you know, the ability of Jerry Grant to get to the rim and either kick out or finish is not the same thing that Chris Dunn brings to the table. I agree. I think Markkanen is going to be really amped. And also, I mean, he said it yesterday, shoot around. He's excited to get back and play. He hasn't played in a while as he was with his wife welcoming their first child. So he's going to be amped to play in this game. And, of course, you mentioned he was, you know, really into playing, going toe-to-toe with Porzingis. I think he'll probably feel the same way about Towns, but I would be surprised if anybody else. I mean, we might see another double-double kind of night from Bobby Portis, because I know he is excited to maybe kind of go blow-to-blow with his old teammates, Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson. But I see the Timberwolves being significant favorites in this one, and I don't see any unexpected stars rising to the occasion for Chicago.
After another quick break, we're going to get into a couple more matchups in this game, Timberwolves against the Bulls. The players I'm really looking for as far as the Timberwolves, I think that Teague, this is another night where you have a significant advantage at point guard, and you saw it the other night against Thomas and the way that there was some trouble switching Thomas on defense when there are screens and stuff trying to find another player, or when Thomas would just get lost a little bit in defense trying to pick up Teague. I think that against Grant, this is a really significant matchup advantage again for Teague, where I want to see him have a big night. And for Jimmy Butler, I feel like he is a very competitive player. And now I feel like I know he's a very competitive player. That's not a very thin branch to go out on. But I think that he's going to really get up for a game against his old team in his old city and really kind of want to show up for this game in a big way. Are those two players that you're looking at, or are you more worried about Towns versus Markkanen?
I'm definitely worried about Towns versus Markkanen. I mean, even though I was just talking about how Markkanen is better than advertised on the defensive end, Karl-Anthony Towns is a rare special talent in this league. I mean, you just look at their game last night against Cleveland. It was a heartbreaking loss. You know, LeBron sinks another buzzer beater over Jimmy. He's been there before. I mean, Towns dropped 30 and went 6 of 6 from downtown. At his size, like, that is a very difficult guard. That's a tough ask for a rookie on the defensive end. As far as Teague and Butler, you're absolutely right. I mean, I would put money on Butler dropping 40 tomorrow night just because that's the kind of competitor he is. And he felt slighted that the Bulls never bought into him being the centerpiece of a championship contending team. And then, you know, with him and with Teague, from the Bulls' perspective, it's just going to be tough to see who can try to stop whom, because, you know, I talked about the deficiencies of the Bulls' offense without Chris Dunn. He's also, and this is one of the main reasons why they love him and brought him in that trade, they love him as a perimeter defender and see him as, you know, the potential to be one of the best backcourt defenders in the league someday, and he's already shown glimpses of that. Jaren Grant is not a special defender. So, you know, and then obviously Zach LaVine, for all of the excitement around his offensive game and the fact that he started to show more promise and stringing together 20-point games, you have to hide him on the defensive end, because LaVine, whether it's, you know, dealing with, you know, screens or mismatches and switches on defense, he is a tough guy to try to hide with his defensive weaknesses. So I'm not so much worried about Jeff Teague as I am, depending on who's asked to guard Jimmy Butler, they can't guard Jimmy Butler, basically. Yeah.
No, yeah, I like that you mentioned he might drop a 40-point game, too, to bet on it. I'm a degenerate gambler, so I will definitely be looking at something like that to bet on now that you mentioned
it. Oh, good. Yeah, definitely. Over-under Butler, 39.5. I'm taking the over.
I love it. And you talk about Towns, too. Especially the way he played last night. Hopefully he can do something like that again, just because the way the Timberwolves offense has played up to this point, they have shown that they're able to put up a lot of points, but they still aren't very dynamic stretching the floor. You got to get some guys who are willing to pop more threes, and Wiggins has not done that from a consistent basis. Really, the only guy that has done that for them consistently is Jamal Crawford, and he's coming off the bench. So maybe it's a little weird to have him shooting 6 times from three, but if that's the guy who's willing to jack up some shots from deeper, maybe that's just the way it's got to go. And I like seeing him stretch the floor. Over the last 10 games, the Timberwolves offense has averaged 114.7 points per game. That's second in the NBA. And I'm looking right now, the Chicago Bulls, they are ranked at 15 with 108.1 points. Right there, you take the defenses out of it, right there, it's just going to be tough without Chris Dunn to keep pace with the Timberwolves and what they can do offensively.
Yeah, this Bulls team without Dunn really struggles on the defensive end, and I don't necessarily see that changing against this Minnesota team. You mentioned the fact that they don't, other than Crawford off the bench and some nights for Towns when his outside stroke is there, don't have a whole lot of floor stretching. That's not really a factor. I mean, this Bulls defense, they've gotten a good amount of luck in large stretches this season when it comes to their opponents just not having off nights from beyond the perimeter. I think you can't really credit the Bulls. They still have a lot of challenges and difficulties communicating on the defensive end. And David Nwaba has been a pleasant surprise. He's a guy who's been very good defending the perimeter and guarding some of our opponents' toughest guards or wings all season long. He's been kind of having a downswing in recent games. His minutes have been cut as LaVine's minutes grow. And, you know, if the Bulls are trying to go point for point with Minnesota and are keeping LaVine on the floor for more of those, you know, mid-30s kind of minutes as his minutes restrictions grow, That's fewer points for a defensive stud like Nwaba to be on the floor trying to stop this Minnesota offense.
Mm-hmm. And you look at the defensive rating for these teams through January. Minnesota has been able to pick it up. They were right around 25 for most of the season. They've been able to pick it up in January. They're the 19th-ranked defense, 108.2 points allowed per game. Chicago dead last through January with 111.5 points allowed per game. So it's just everything's kind of slated, and plus you have the injury too. Everything's kind of slated against the Bulls, even though it is at home, and this should be kind of one of those games where the crowd is pretty into it because of who's playing in the game. It's all kind of slated against them.
It really is, and the Bulls don't really have anybody on their side to kind of have that same extra motivation. I mean, There's nothing Tom Thibodeau loves more than handing his former employees a loss. And Jimmy Butler, as I said, is going to come into the UC determined to put a huge game on and win. And Taj Gibson, the same thing. You know, I mentioned that Bobby Portis, he had a couple of interesting sound bites earlier this week about being excited to go against his old mentor, Taj Gibson, his old teammate, Butler. But other than that, I mean, this Bulls team, there's been so much turnover from the days of Butler and Gibson that it's not really a revenge game or a reunion game on their end because It's a totally different team. So I think that aspect is really going to play absolutely to Minnesota's favor and be kind of a non-factor for the Bulls.
I make all the shows, or I make every kind of guest come in and do this because, like I said, I'm a gambler. I'm looking for over-unders, basically, but I also like to have people predict the score of the game. I'm thinking that it's going to be about 110-115 to 95-98 with the Timberwolves win. I think with the day off in between, especially after an overtime game, they're going to be able to lock and load back in on that defense and really put up some points. About 110 to 115 I'm expecting from them, and I think they can hold the Bulls to under 100, especially with Chris Dunn out. You talked about how well the offense runs through him. Maybe not his scoring that they're lacking necessarily as much as his distribution. That's what I see for them. What do you think this game comes out to?
Yeah, I think you're pretty close there, Colton. I mean, you think about the fact that the Bulls blew a 21-point lead and didn't even put up 100 against the Kings earlier this week. And I mean, I watched that game. The Kings' defense is atrocious. And they will have Markkanen back, so that's one more element to the offense. You know, and hopefully he isn't too rusty and he can knock down a few from beyond the arc and he can get back into the swing of things. But just from a sheer lack of offensive talent, like unless LaVine and Markkanen both go off and have a crazy game, I don't think the Bulls can manage to keep this one close. And you know, your prediction of Minnesota somewhere around 110 to 115 and holding the Bulls under 100, I think that's pretty spot on.
Say what you will about the Kings defense, but over the last month it is better than the Cavaliers.
Yeah, well, that's not a hard test.
That's just stats. Those are just stats.
just ask their former coach David Blatt, who took a shot at them a couple weeks ago.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, wasn't that great?
That was awesome. Just waiting for his national televised moment to kind of get his shot in. I loved it. Make sure if you're listening to this to go check out the Locked On Bulls podcast. Great stuff going on over there. And a great way, too, to prep for the Timberwolves-Bulls game is to not only listen to Locked On Wolves, but listen to some Bulls content as well. Really get jazzed up for this game. Matt, thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely, Colton. A pleasure. Hope to do it again soon.
And thank you guys for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.